with the black workers and a supervisor that you had didn't like it, decided to stop that. I'm wondering how the other workers around you reacted to your interaction with them.
They just sort of ignored it, really. I don't know whether they didn't know how to react or, as I remember, and that's why I wish I had my sister or my friends to see what they remembered. As I remember, it just stayed that way. There never was any interaction with the black workers and the other workers in the plant. Now, I could be wrong, but that's the way I remember it. Now, maybe it started out that way, and it was a gradual change, and I just didn't notice it, or it wasn't somehow stay in my memory, but as I remember, it was just us that did that. We weren't especially welcome to their lunch group when we first started doing that, but, you know, we became better acquainted, and I think we were very well accepted. I don't think that they felt honored that we were there in any way, but I think eventually they got to accept us as friends, too. Which is the way we felt about them. And too, they bought pretty good lunches, and sometimes we shared. Ours was from the corner hamburger stand or something. And sometimes they brought, homemade lunches, which were very nice. But some of us got to be quite good friends. I remember especially Nat Cole's sister was very friendly to everyone, and very, very easy to, to talk to get acquainted with. And I remember she was quite friendly to everyone. I don't remember anyone especially coming to have lunch. As I say, I could be wrong. I wish I had a better memory. I certainly do. But that was frowned upon. As far as I remember, there was no effort made to separate. It was just sort of an automatic thing. But I think the foreman who got upset was because this black worker used to talk to Ann Alfonso. They used to visit, and they used to kid around there when they were working. They worked for them, and used to kid around. And that seemed to bother him a lot. I don't remember any real special incidents. I think segregation was so accepted that no one really paid as much attention to it, really. I think it was just sort of, I think people are, same way with handicapped people. They just sort of let them be by themselves. I don't remember anybody making any special effort to draw them into, I remember a very short fellow, I can't remember what his disability was. They used to help him punch his time card. He was not very friendly either. He didn't resent my helping, but he never got to be with speaking. I would help him punch his time card or hand it to him. It was up on the rack and he couldn't reach it. I can't remember what his disability was. But he always stayed to himself, too. And I used to think that was kind of sad. But as I say, he didn't openly show that he wanted to be friendly any more than just to say hello. So it's kind of hard to... I'm a shy person anyway. I think now I wouldn't be so shy. I would make it hard for him not to be friendly to me. But at that time, I was probably just as shy as he was. And I felt, well, I'm trying, and I'll do the best I can.
Were there many disabled workers?
I only remember him. I'm sure there were. I remember him maybe because that I used to help him reach his time card or... I can't remember what he walked. He was able to walk by himself. But it seemed to me he was kind of bent over or something. He was short. Now, I think what I did was just hand his time card down to him. I wonder now if somebody put it up high on purpose because they were lower, or maybe they went by the alphabet. I don't remember what method was used there to do that, but I just remember helping him with his time card.
Did you
hear
so-called things outside the plant with the
right thing? No, I don't recall doing that. He had very little social things to do, I guess. He never had, like, a party or anything like that. No black friends ever invited me to a party that I remember of. Maybe they didn't have parties either. People didn't. I mean, I think they had the feeling that it was wrong for us to be living it up and being happy when the boys were over there, you know. I remember that atmosphere, and I think we felt maybe a little bit guilty to be having what anybody would consider a good time. And I guess it was kind of difficult to do much of anything anyway. Most everybody, I remember, just worked hard, and we went to the movies a lot. I guess other people did too. And I know we went to the beach. We used to love to go to the beach and sleep. We were always needing sleep, because I remember everybody was always tired and sleepy, because we worked at midnight shift, and then sometimes we worked over hours too. I just remember it being, you know, we always used to come down to the beach and lay down out there in the sun and go to sleep, and everybody get a real terrible burn. And we did that I don't know how many times. And go they had those good stage shows. Now, I remember we went to a lot of those. I guess they were fairly inexpensive. But you weren't supposed to be having a good time. You were supposed to be, I don't know, what? Worrying about the war, I guess. I'm sure everybody did. They did their share, I'm sure of that. Everybody was worried.
For me, during that time, with the black workers, organizing that was going on in the black community and national community.
At that time, no. No. No, in fact, I was the honey. That's where I was the secretary. The first, to me, the first, I'm the real organizing effort, maybe in the poor community, I'm sure they had not time to involve the poor, was with the United Civil Rights Committee, who was Earl Walters, who was a wonderful person, who died right after. In fact, the thing fell apart after he died. I was his secretary. And the only reason I was his secretary because no one else wanted the job. It wasn't a job, it was a volunteer, of course. Because I was a lousy secretary, but he was such a nice person. And we, for heaven's sake, we did the first organized door-to-door thing over there. Let me go find that little thing. We opened the door, and we had a ballot, a sample ballot type thing. And we, you know, let the people get the feel of voting, and we talked voting, and I guess we registered at the same time. In fact, I remember doing this very clearly with Leverty's Lewis, the one I was showing you there in the picture, with Fannie Lou Hamer. We, at that time, people who couldn't sign their name couldn't register to vote. We were all, of course, that was when they had training and we all got to be voter registrars. I think it's a lot different now. That was after, I think that was after, I don't know if that was after Earl Walters died or before he died. That was in the 60s. I think a lot of our people, I know I was, actually CORE and UCRC were sort of a combined thing, in the ACT and all the organizations in Los Angeles. And we had this real fine, he was a real short Jewish fella. He went of the CORE people that I was very close and involved with, went on the first Freedom Rides on that. He was on the bus that they burnt there in Alabama somewhere, if I remember right now. Told us they set the bus on fire and they stood outside with guns. They wouldn't let the people come out. He's lucky he got out alive. He went with that. And a lot of our UCRC people did. In fact, once I went and they left from Burbank and I went to, I was the only one that wasn't going of our UCRC bunch that went. And they were all crying. The ones that got on the plane were crying. You know, usually some ones that are left behind that cry. I wasn't crying. They were all crying because I wasn't going. And that was a very difficult thing, too, because they wouldn't let them, at that time, the planes were different, too. They had to push those steps up there. The people at the airport wouldn't let them push the steps up, and they had to stay on the plane for about 10 or 12 hours. They couldn't get off the plane. They wouldn't let them off the plane. But they did the march. In fact, I also have pictures of that march. I can't remember which one it was. There were so many. But all UCRC people were very much involved in that. And I think I was the only one of the group who didn't go, because I remember I drove quite a few of them. We had to go out to Burbank. I don't know. Maybe this airport wasn't even built. I don't even remember. But anyway, we went to Burbank, and they were all crying as they got on the plane because I couldn't go. I wasn't going. I don't remember now why I didn't go. I don't remember. It's probably some family responsibility, I'm sure. But otherwise, I would have gone. Or maybe it was my job. A lot of them didn't have any problem with their job. I can't remember where I was working at that time. It was probably my job. They didn't give me time off. I know several of our group were self-employed, and some of them didn't care if they got fired, but maybe I cared because I had more bills to pay. I don't remember now. But I remember not going. I remember they always laughed about that afterwards. The one that left behind was supposed to cry, not the ones who get on the plane. A lot of nuns. Not too many priests, but a lot of nuns got on those planes. Several planes in there. There were a lot of them. Would you want to take the time and see if I can find those pictures at a moment's notice of the of that march? Because maybe I'll recall some of my real good friends that were in there.
Well, I'd like to go back to the Warriors for a minute. And I know that you said before that the different plants, you don't remember a lot of specific details about those plants. But I just wanted to ask you if you remember a difference between, you said you were in Burbank at Lockheed and then you moved to downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And if there was a difference in the number of minority workers or attitudes of the plant, that kind of thing.
There were more minorities down there on, I think it was 7th and Santa Fe, if I remember right, long back there. It was a sub-plant. We had sub-plants scattered around here and there. Oh, yes. In fact, I don't especially recall a lot of minority workers. Of course, the Lockheed in Burbank was a big plant, and I only knew what was right around me. I think that it was a more of a closeness there. There were fewer, of course, very crowded. I think that would probably be my awareness of it would have been over at that time. This was located way over close to Central Avenue, if not. I can't remember which side it's on. Terrible. I've lived in Los Angeles for years.
Between the white workers and the minority workers easier at the downtown
thing? I would say so, yes. We were, forced closer. We worked closer together. I don't remember any exact pattern of segregation, but I am remembering that it seems to me like the black workers worked with black workers. The whites were scattered around with the rest of them. Now, I am remembering that. But it was very, just accidental. Mm-hmm. I know the blacks ate lunch together. All the blacks were gathered in their own little circles for lunch.
Is that where you would go to have lunch with them when you went
to
the downtown
center? Yeah, as I remember, we ate. I don't think they had a lunch wagon when we first started. I think that came later. You could go out, it came up to the curb like they do now. You could go out and buy something. But I don't remember that. I remember we brought our lunch. Maybe we had a coffee machine or something in the plant, or a soda machine. I don't even remember whether I'm correct with that or not, but I think that's about the way it was. Yes, I would go over to sit with them. At the shipyards, too. I remember that when I worked at the shipyards, or the machine shop. I did work at the shipyards very briefly. I think it was more noticeable in the shipyards. It must have been the shipyards, because I went way off from her. I didn't stay very long. I can't remember. They probably fired me, because I'm sure I was very inept, and I didn't like it either. So
Was that during the war?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. That was in between, it took time off from one of the... I worked it, and then I went back. And everybody was supposed to be getting rich, or maybe it was more patriotic, or maybe they just started taking women. I'm pretty sure they probably just started taking women at the shipyards. That's probably what prompted me to run down there and try it, because my sister or my other friends didn't. I was down there by myself, and then I worked in this machine shop, and I can't remember whether it was here, like in San Pedro or someplace, or in San Diego. I used to ride a ferry across something in San Diego, and I don't know whether that was a shipyard or that was when I worked in a machine shop. But I didn't care much for that. I always had to run and chase that ferry boat. I almost missed it every day, and maybe I didn't like the boat ride. I don't know. But as I say, I was very inept. I don't know whether they got rid of me or I gave it up. Before they got rid of me, I don't remember.
What made you decide to move to San Diego?
Oh, my brother's wife and my brother were there, and we went to... In fact, we used to go down there. Well, I guess that's why we came back up here, because the jobs weren't the same, or we didn't like to work or something. But we went there to be close to him, because my sister-in-law was there, along with my brother. She was married to a brother that was in the Navy, and we just needed the closeness, I guess. So that was why we went down there. And then, too, you could go across to Tijuana and get silk stockings and bobby pins. Maybe that's attracted us, too. I don't know. We weren't that patriotic. We would go over there and get them. And we used to have a lot of fun with this friend of mine, Lucille. I do have some pictures of her, but I didn't see any, and I have to gather up my pictures and see. Her name was Lucille Willie, her maiden name. She, of course, got married. She used to put the bobby pins in her mouth, and we used to tease her all the time. You know, don't put those in your mouth. The people in Tijuana pick them up off the restroom floors. That's how come they're able to have them when you couldn't buy bobby pins or I guess it was nylon stockings. It wasn't nylon, it was probably silk. Yeah, silk stockings, which were, you know, they were very hard to come by, but you could get them in Tijuana. And of course, when we were in San Diego, it was right there. We were right there, so I'm sure that was one of the attractions for going to San Diego, but mainly it was to be close to my brother, because his wife, she lived in New Mexico, and he came out, and of course, he wasn't there that long. He was there alone, and that's why he went. So. But she gave up. She went back to her home. She said she couldn't stand to live with us. We were too crazy. She was a more, she wanted a more normal type of life, I think. But we had a lot of fun. In fact, we have pictures. We're all together there. I'll have to try to find some more of my pictures. I'm certainly going to find those of the UCRC group that went to... I can't remember what the big occasion was, but surely when I see the pictures, maybe something's written on them. I don't know. Howard was there, very nice. Still a person. He might have written something on some of the pictures. It will come back to me, but that was a very frightening thing. I was real thrilled over it. I was started to say Mrs. Lewis and I don't remember whether we started it in UCRC or whether she and I decided, but we used to find, there were a lot of people, minority people, and just poor people, and you know, the poor sections, which had never voted, no one had ever considered them for voting before, who couldn't sign their name, and we used to just have them to print it, you know. And then we would show them how to hook the letters together and get to where they could get something that would pass for a signature. And, of course, I'm sure we would have been fired had the registrar voters, people knew what we were doing, but we would qualify them. And sometimes they would, in fact, we were always challenging. That was a very busy time. And those little games were so hard to make because they would challenge them at the polls. Now, once you're registered, it was the responsibility of the registrar to decide whether you were eligible or not to register if you weren't eligible. And we would register, and then we'd have to go to the polls on election day and fight another battle over there because they would be qualifying them all over again. And fortunately, I always make sure I keep my membership paid in NACC because those attorneys were right there. At that time, the civil rights movement would have never gone where it did if there weren't because you had everything that every little game was challenged, and they were always ready. I know I was arrested many times in civil rights demonstrations. Most of the time, we were never even booked. The attorneys were already there, had posted the bail, and by the time they got us down to the jail, we were already released. They didn't even go through the formality because of it. And I certainly appreciate the NAACP and those wonderful attorneys that they had. And of course, at that time, they had the bail money too, which is very important.
Was that in the South?
No, it's right here in Los Angeles. Good heavens, the South. You don't know what a time we had here in Los Angeles. No, I've never been down South since I was about a year and a half old. No, I never did. I never got over there. We get our support over here, but we had just about as many sad experiences. Let's see, that was down in Torrance now, where we had a long march. That was housing. That was over housing. And I know I was in that one, and we were, and this is right here in Torrance. I wonder if I could find that place again. It must have been a housing, new housing project or something anyway. There was a lot of discrimination. There was a lot of damage done. My feeling is that the damage was done to discredit, the civil rights, because it's always been nonviolent. We never went for we never damaged any property or anything like that. We always conducted, everyone that was involved with us conducted themselves, for the good of the movement, of course. And this, he was an older man. I wasn't very old then, I guess. He must have been about 60 or so. And he actually peed on me as we went walking by. Just all that shocked me. Never so shocked. But, of course, they're well trained. That's, I think that's very important, too. Very well trained, because I know how I managed, but I just walked by like nothing was happening. Couldn't wait to get home and change my clothes, I'll tell you that. But that really shocked me, and I said, oh my God, you're over the house. I don't think that the housing was ever integrated, unfortunately, but we certainly tried. And that really shocked me. That was just a lot of things happened. And then we had the time the Ku Klux Klan had a big rally or dinner. Well, they had it out in Pasadena at the auditorium. I mean, we went to that, we picked it to that. That wasn't too, there were not any real incidents that I recall. It wasn't, I'm sure there possibly were, but nothing that big and spectacular. But there's a restaurant there. In fact, I drove by it the other day. It's between Pasadena and downtown Los Angeles. There wasn't a freeway then, to go back and forth. It was different roads, but it was a restaurant, and they were having some kind of a rally there, and we were picketing it, and unfortunately, I was stuck. We were doing Thrifty Mart. I don't know if anybody remembers him. We were assigned regulars to Thrifty Mart, so we couldn't be in on the arrestable action. And I was always very jealous because they tried to block the driveway. And this woman, actually a woman, older woman, gray haired with a what they call it, blue hair, older type of person, ran her car into one of our on purpose. Just very vicious. And the names and the words that those—that was very shocking for me too, because of the older women. I mean, good Lord, we were used to words and names. That wasn't anything. But coming from very well dressed, very dignified looking grandmother type, and the words that came out of mouth and the things they said, and the vicious way they acted, was really sad. And that was an arrestable action, which we didn't. But we who were assigned to 50 months, which we walked 7 days a week for more than a year. 7 days a week, we were the core, the same group. It got larger. Mayor Bradley walked in that picket line, and quite a few that come on to be bigger, bigger names later on.
What was the targeting of
when they that was upgrading? That by that time we had that was much later. We had success in that they did hire minority people. Christy Mark did, but when they did hire minorities. That we had gotten that far. They hired minorities in. But when it came time to upgrade, and this is in the minority areas, the black person could never be the manager, the assistant manager. They've always brought someone in from the outside. That's why that was such a long, hard one. But that one was one. And I don't shop in Thrifty Mart to this day. Because that was such a long, hard action. I remember Mrs. Lewis very well, because, there was a lot of little little black kids out there that, and used to tell the other picketers, don't try to stop them. Let them in there, see, because they would see. Let them in there. They're going to hurt them a lot more than we are out here worrying ourselves to death. Let them see. Let them in. Go on in there, honey. Go on in there and get you some gum and tea. I think she was laughing over there. And I think she was right, too. They may have hurt. No, we won the point. We did. I'm sure all over now. People wonder. That's what I say. Everybody takes things like that for granted. But it didn't come about for granted, believe you me. And we had such wonderful people to work with. And at that time, I sometimes wonder, where are they all now? Because I think we're going to have to start doing the same thing again. Especially with the school board. Oh, we walked to the school board. Goodness sake, there was a march to the Board of Education every week or two or three times a week. And got a little progress there. Now look where we are. We're back working. In fact, that was that coffee hour that I was showing you at Reverend Jones. That we did a fundraising thing for him at my house. So that we worked real hard for those. Made a little success. And look now. There isn't anything but conservatives on the school board now. Even the liberals would have to be termed conservative. So we are sliding backwards, and unfortunately, Earl Walters dead, Martin Luther King is dead, and a lot of the good people that were really the core of that. It never would have happened without them, I can certainly tell you that. So maybe we're going to have to start again. And I guess that's it. Just a whole lot of those people that I remember. That was who I think have died and gone on. And I guess the rest of us are so old, we'd never be able to do that 24-hour-a-day picketing, I'll tell you that. And we used to go around the clock. We did that many times. But then that's not the warriors now, is it? That's right after the warriors. We'll go back to the warriors. Yeah, I always have to get off the subject.